Viv Greywood, head of design at Stink Studios, started his career at VML, am I right?
Yeah.
Just before that, yeah, there were a couple of other things.
It was good technology at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, VML.
And then kicked off AKQA.
Yep.
Head.
Yep.
Which I'm really interested in diving into.
I know you want to ask me.
Yeah. And then it was TBWA Media Arts Lab.
Media Arts Lab.
Yeah. Yep. And then landed at Stink after that, and you've been flying ever since, right?
Don't know about that.
I'm so excited to dive into this with you. I feel like we've been talking about this for ages.
Nearly a year, man.
Yeah, I know. But
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great to have you on. How I like to start this, people, we've been doing a little this or that thing to break the ice. Don't feel like much ice needs to be broken. I feel like we're pretty close, but I'm going to start with three just quick fire questions. First thing that comes into your head.
Go.
Most frustrating app.
Instagram.
Love that.
Instagram, definitely.
Favorite restaurant in London?
Can't believe I've forgotten this. There's one, it's an Italian, it's in some Borough Market on the corner. I'm gutted. I'm gutted. I can't remember it. But it's, you have to basically, they don't do bookings, you have to put your name down and walk away. I've forgotten the name.
It's special.
It's good.
To the owner of the Italian in Borough Market, Viv Gray would love your stuff.
It's good. I can't remember. I'll probably remember later.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
And then, if you weren't a designer, what would you be doing?
I'd like to say the sportsman in me, a footballer, or something to do with football.
Love that. What position?
Centre mid.
Of course,
love
you
that,
were.
Love that box to box anymore. I probably would be in some sort of hospitality or running a bar or something like that.
Nice.
Did quite a lot of that when I was coming through and growing up, and loved it. Got the bug. Loved cocktails. Loved trying everything.
Yeah.
Loved shaking. Loved flaring. That kind of thing.
No way.
Yeah. Did a bit of that, but nothing too mental. I just loved working flair and I really loved it, and I loved my time there.
Oh my god, we might need 2 hours on this episode.
No, I could tell you there's loads of stories. There's loads of stories, but yeah.
Well, look, Viv, let's jump in. Before we get into the nitty gritty of the different places you've been, the challenges you've come up against, question I love to ask, I know Ollie, Woody likes to ask too, who's the first person that ever made you feel talented?
Again, there's two answers to this. There usually is, but I have to say Mummy Greywood.
Yeah.
mum, yeah, absolute legend. She was the one that kind of made me feel like I was really, really good at things, and especially like little things like writing in people's cards. She would get me to do it. She's like, you've got lovely handwriting. And I was just like,
really?
Safe. Looking at my brothers like, yeah, you get me.
Yeah, take note, boys.
But yeah, that had definitely mum. And then probably my primary school teacher. Mm. Again, this is sport related. You can probably tell I played quite, I've already spoken about it twice already at the beginning, but I was basically really, really into football. So me and my younger brother, my primary school teacher, when my parents couldn't take me to district trials, and then also I'm from Oxford, so I used to play for Oxford United School of Excellence.
No way.
She used to take me after school and stuff like that. And she was the one that was just like, yeah, properly going. But real answer, my mum, definitely. But in my head, I'm like, yeah, probably my primary school teacher.
So how did you get into this world?
Oh, good question. I had a bit of a roundabout journey. It wasn't typical. Growing up, I loved art. I loved technology. I was always into that. DT in school, making stuff, all of that sort of stuff. Even I'm probably sharing my age now, Banana Man and Garfield, I used to be able to draw off by heart and stuff like that.
Yeah,
just by looking at it and drawing it. And then I used to love caricatures.
Yeah.
I used to draw a lot of caricatures of people and famous people. Just by
Oh, you're in Leicester Square once.
that would should have been other job. But I've always loved it. I had a bit of a roundabout way about coming at it. I went to school, did all my did GCSEs, A-levels as usual. Did quite well in my A-levels, especially in the sciences and maths. So decided to go to Leicester and do maths and computer science.
Wow.
Yeah. Was up there, first time away from home, 18, and let's just say I enjoyed myself. Got halfway through it and was just like, what am I doing? Like, yeah. Literally, what am I doing? I'm up here to do something, which I saw, and I'm not doing it. So I had to have a bit of a reality check with myself. And my parents were amazing. So I basically got halfway through my course, realized that I wasn't applying myself, and then decided to come home. So I basically came home. I think I was 21, I think, and wow. Quite old. quite old for that type of thing, and started again, really. Did an art and design foundation.
It's a brave decision, though.
It was tough. It was the hardest decision. I knew I had to do it,
yeah.
But it was just one of those ones that I was just like, yeah, you kind of have to do this because you're not making a good fist of it. And it was just one of those ones. It's, yeah.
I really, like, take my hat off to you for that, because I know a lot of people who just sort of roll through it,
yeah,
and because it feels like the right thing to do,
yeah,
not actually, they don't take a minute to think, what am I learning here, and how am I gonna level up for after this, where am I gonna go to?
Yeah, I think that was the thing that got me. It was just like, I knew I wasn't really enjoying it, I knew I wasn't making a good showing of myself, which is, I think, one of the most important things. It's like having a bit of self-pride about yourself. I knew I wasn't.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, made a really tough decision. My parents were amazing at the time and were just like, still are, but still were like, cool.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? And that was the biggest thing, where it was just like, I was confronted with, in all honesty, a sheet of paper, wrote my name in the middle, and was just like, what am I into?
Really?
Yeah. And then out of that, decided to go and do an art and design foundation down at my local college back home with my parents. Like I said, I'm from Oxford, so just outside Oxford. Did that, age 21, really amazing year. Like, it was the best thing I've ever done. Really? I knew straight away that it was just like, it was the hardest thing, but it was the thing that would benefit me the most. I was able to do loads of different things and think about myself in that way, which I hadn't done properly, and been forced to think about what I wanted. And did that, doing all sorts of stuff. And the penny drop for me, and I'll get to how I got into the industry, and I think it starts with a penny drop. During the foundation, they took us to London. We're in London. They brought us to London, and there was two visits. There was the V&A, which is in the afternoon, and the Barbican, which is graphic design from the 1960s to the current day. Went to the Barbican first. Everyone else went on to the V&A, and that was when it dropped for me, because I was just like, what is this? I am so in.
Really?
Give me all of this. And everyone left me, and it was amazing. I caught up with them at the end, but I was just like, yeah, this is me. So I'd, yeah, realized that graphics was my thing, really loved typography, and it just stemmed from there. And I just got in and really, like, thought about where I was going to go next and go back to uni and all that sort of stuff. And then, yeah, the rest is kind of history. Went back to uni, went back to the Arts Institute, where it's actually called Arts at Bournemouth University now, was the Arts Institute. Did that for 3 years, was very militant about it. I didn't mess around like I did my first one.
Really?
Was so militant about it. Had fun, but really was just like about the work and about understanding this vocation. It had to be for me.
What's the change? Is it the realization of the passion and of, okay, this is the thing I want to do? Mm. Is it maturity? Is it like, what do you think?
Very good question. I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it was a bit of maturity. I had to force myself to think about who I was and what I wanted to be. And I was in the right frame of mind for that as well. You can't force that thing. That thing comes on your own. So my parents gave me the space to kind of think about myself and think about what I wanted to do. It was that. And then, yeah, it was just bravery. Like, I kind of wanted to do something and I wanted to be good at something.
Yeah.
And I think it was like this inner thing within me was like, I actually wanted to be good at something. So I was just like, right, let's go.
And I guess that's sort of partially ingrained in you, right? From a young age with sport and whatever it was. Absolutely. It's like, I have to be the best, or I want to be, you know.
I'm competitive, but I'm not overly competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
I love what I do, and I love to know things and kind of be professional. And yeah, it's been from an early age. Like, my parents did a, I'd say, really good job with all of us. I'm one of four boys. So yeah, it's just like, it was always like, you need to know something.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, and so that was my, the driving.
Okay. So uni ends.
Yep. Uni ends.
Big world of, yeah, holy shit, what do I do? What's, are you laser focused on knowing what you want to do? Are you confused?
It was interesting because, like, I knew I wanted to go to London. I knew I needed to go to London, yeah, for what I wanted to do. It's quite daunting, as a lot of people will still know now. It's just like, looking at London, there's so many things going on, so many people doing amazing things, so many companies doing amazing things. I was like, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where I fit in. So I was like, cool, I need to go and do an internship, like most people. Mm. So I was applying for internships, applying for jobs, applying for freelance, seeing, just trying my hand. Had an okay portfolio, was pretty type heavy, very stylized, very of the time, not really classical, but I knew the classics, I knew the rules. The thing that changed for me was, I went back home to my parents just outside of Oxford, and on my CV, when I'd write to people, I would put my home address on it.
Yeah.
And the penny changed, and things started to change. Things started to change once I put my brother's address, who was already in London.
No way.
And then I started getting loads of, Viv, we're interested in you. And I was just like, I don't know whether that was right. But at the time, I was like, oh no. Like, I literally was inundated. Like, to be fair, I'd put in the work. I'd looked at places. I was looking at small, big, everything, just trying to get involved. I would also be in London quite a lot because a few of my brothers were living in London, already working. So I was like couch surfing, like, yeah, going to things, going to networking things, just trying to get my foot in the door. And the thing that I took was a guy who went to the same college, he did the same foundation as me, and he was running an agency, really small one, in Hoxton Square. And it was just like, there was 200 odd applicants. I'm not bigging myself up. This is what he said to me. And he was just like, my one stood out. Like, I was decent, but what tipped it over was that I was from the same area as,
yeah,
him. And I was just like, oh, okay, sweet. So it was a 3 months internship. Went down, moved into London, and couch surfing with my brothers, and then ended up staying for 6 months.
Yeah.
Because I'd done well. I was just like, I was in, sponge.
Really?
I was just like, anything, everything, give it to me. Learning After Effects, learning all sorts of stuff. That's it. I'm going to show my age now. Flash was massive.
Oh yeah.
Yes, at that time. So I was like learning Flash. I was just like, let's go, let's have it. And I was just, yeah, I was doing that, and then bartending at night.
Yeah.
Which was really, I needed a bit of cash. Yeah. So I was doing that at night at the Centrepoint building. That was weird. It was a members thing. So I was up there making cocktails for and seeing all of London, which was weird at the time. Like, little me, like, doing that. But it was right. I got it through a guy that I knew up in Leicester, so it was just like, it was weird worlds coming together. So yeah, got in working there. After 6 months, it was one of those ones where the guy was like, we can't really keep you. And I was like, am I gonna have to go home?
Mm-hmm.
And I was still interviewing quite a lot, and there was one thing that came through for VML GT at the time. They really liked me. Unfortunately, they were waiting on, which is the way of the world now, waiting on their clients to confirm some work to be able to hire me. So I got the job, but I was on pause. So it just felt really weird. Like, I was like, what's going on here? Is this the industry I'm in? Stayed focused, did what I needed to do. Literally, I think 3 months or so later from getting the job, I was in.
Wow.
And I was just all about it. They had Xbox at the time, Microsoft Xbox. And then, yeah, I was working on that and just doing loads of stuff, emails, comping. Like, I was literally worked so hard at, and just watched so many tutorials about Photoshop, cutting people out, all that sort of stuff. The stuff that they just don't teach you.
Yeah.
Now it's a lot easier because of AI, and I know we're going to get onto that. But yeah, I was just like in my bag doing loads of stuff like that, tutorial after tutorial, learning, asking questions, going and finding those answers myself. Just being a sponge with like senior people that are around me, working on pitches, even though I wasn't technically on the job, I was like staying late and just working on it.
Really? Yeah.
Just like, it was just, I wasn't going to let this one go. If you know what I mean. I had to, like, my attitude had to be like, I'm in.
That's really interesting.
I'm giving my whole self to it. And that's the only way I'm able to do work, really, even now.
Do you think, sorry.
Go.
Do you think VML were calling out for someone who does everything in you? Or were you, because, you know, we've gone through a phase of let's be hyper specialist, let's only do this one thing, but do it really, really, really well. You're here, you've come in and you're like, just give me everything. I just want to learn design, creative, what's new. Get me some moving stuff, get me some static stuff, get me some type. Like, is that what, did they appreciate that?
They did. I think they weren't literally looking, they were looking at for me to do a lot of the usual design work, but it was me that I was just interested. There was tech people, motion people next to me, and I was just asking questions and just soaking it up and just getting involved. Like, I kind of felt like I had to. I was like, there's a playground here, and I need to understand it, because like we were talking about at the beginning, like, I've always wanted to kind of be a professional at something, or like have that level, and I knew where I wanted to go, not really, but just having that plan where I was just like, I know I want to get there, and I could see people that were there, and that's the important thing, seeing people that are in that space that you're like, I like what that guy's doing, or what that person's doing, or what that lady's doing. One day I want to be that person. I want to learn how to get there, and that just drove me. And so VML weren't asking me to do it, but I was just like, I need to know. At some point it will come up, or someone will ask me about it, and I'll be, my biggest fear is not knowing the answer and not, and being put on the spot, and they're like, you should know, and I'm like, so I was always like, at that time, just like, come on, give it to
love
me.
That
just the attitude I had to have. Like, I felt like I started late as well.
You know what I mean? Did you feel like you're playing a bit
a bit of catch up, so it just spurned me on, and I was just like, let's go. Like,
I think what's so important, and what you just said then about seeing the person that you want to be in whatever it was, 3, 5, 10 years time, I think that's so integral. And I talk a lot about getting mentors, and you know, I know you're a mentor now to a lot of great designers coming through, and it's what that allows you to do is it's more tangible. It's not just this pie in the sky want to be like Viv Greywood. I get to get in front of Viv Greywood and talk about what he would do in my situation. And that's, for me, just essential at leveling up.
Absolutely.
Cool. Next, I want to, we're sticking in the past for a little bit longer.
Cool.
I want to talk about AKQA for a little while.
Ooh.
Because, you know, whenever we talk, it sounds like some amazing times there as well. How did that come around?
So, not even funnily enough, like, I was on my journey at VML, worked on the first version of the updated Premier League. I had my own little project on that, which was the fantasy thing, and I basically redesigned that, and it's still similar to that now, which I loved. And it was weird because I was nearly 2 years in, probably just over 18 months, and I knew I had to kind of leave. I was like, I kind of was looking around, like, I'd done quite a bit. So I was looking for jobs, went to Havas, and so was at Havas literally for 3 months within my probation. And then my friend, who I used to basically be my housemate at uni down in Bournemouth, straight out of uni went to AKQA, got picked up, went straight to AKQA, really super talented guy. Saw an opening there and was just like, Viv, are you in? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, yeah. And then I really looked at what they were doing. I was like, sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so super excited. Didn't know. Went in for an interview. Showed my work, but then also showed what I was doing out of it. So at that point, it was very much a blog world and a very much a Tumblr world. And I was very much on Tumblr, like, finding cool stuff. And I think the thing that pushed me over the edge was that it was just like, taste, showing that I was looking, showing what I liked, and they could quite easily see me fitting in. And I was just, yeah. Every spare time I was pinning, I was doing all of it, doing the most. So I got that job, and it was funny how I got that. Well, not how I got it. I remember getting the call about it, and I'm sure I told you about this, but I was at Bestival.
Yeah.
In a field. Phone died. And it was like, got it out of the, you know, you put it in the truck that charges it.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it back, and I just had a missed call from the recruiter, and was just like, the in-house recruiter at AKQA, and going, yeah, Viv, we'd love you to start on Monday. And I was just like, let's go. Yeah. Like,
I'm in Bestival for Tuesday, can we?
But yeah, it was one of those, and obviously got hammered.
Yeah.
And it just started from there. AKQA landed there, and it was probably the single most place where there was the most talented people I'd ever seen. Again, me being who I was, and like I was doing at VML, was just like, let's go. Like, sitting next to people that were just amazing, doing stuff, asking for people's like PSDs and working files, deconstructing it and making it again.
Wow.
That's how I learned those skills. Oh, they put that behind it. They masked that. They cut it out like this. I think there's only so many tutorials you can do, but if you can get someone's working files, take it out, like turn everything off, then try and build it yourself. That's how I got to be able to like comp really well, understand lights. It was just one of those things that I was just like around so many talented people, people that are still my friends now, still talk to now, still lean on now. Sometimes I just want to work with my mates, so like a lot of times when I'm freelancing, I work with them. I try and get freelancers in, I work with them and try and call on that network, because it's just like those times were mental but so good. And again, it was just like pitches going on, I was just like, I'm in. Really? I'm not even supposed to be on it, but yeah. I'm in. Like, let me know. Like, I was a bit, like I said, a bit militant at that time as well, where I was just like, I knew that I wanted to learn, and that was more important. Yes, don't get me wrong, had a really good time, went out, did all of the things, but I was also like, within the week, I was just like, this is vocation, like I'm in, like dialed, yeah. Let's go.
So, because how old were you at this point?
Ooh, good question. 24, 25?
So you're 24, 25.
Yeah.
You're in AKQA, arguably, I mean, at the time, it was, if not now, arguably one of the best creative agencies out there.
Yeah.
What's the happiest moment there?
Oof. We had a really tight team. We were called the innovation team. It changed. And we had a really tight team. We sat right in the hub of the office. And we just had a laugh. Just everything lined up. Like I was saying about people that you aspire to be like, I was lucky that my CD at the time, amazing guy, super talented, was just like, he was just the person. I was just like, my love of like certain things have like been stemmed and by the people you meet, and he was definitely one of those points at the pivotal time in my career. He was like really brutally honest with me, but also a really good friend, and I'm still friends with him to this day, and will be for the rest of my life. He's just like really helped me. It was just super tight. And I just remember those days, especially on Fridays, where it was just like, you know what it's like in industry.
Yeah.
It's just chill, chatting, understanding each other. Like, have you seen this cool thing? Playing FIFA, which was massive at the time, in the office.
Yeah.
That was wild. the foosball, all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, no, it was just really, it felt like we worked hard and we played hard.
Yeah.
And that was super important, because we did. We like, when we were on.
Do you think we've lost a bit of that play hard or enjoying being around each other?
I think it has. It has to have had, because of the world at large and what's happened in terms of the pandemic. Like, it just has. Like, companies aren't in all the time. You spend the majority of your time at work where you used to. And so it made sense that you, like, made lifelong friends at work and were, like, yeah. You were basically getting paid on a Friday at the end of the month, and you were basically just spending all your money with them and doing certain things and seeing them on a weekend, and it just became a thing. yeah, it was just like, it was, yeah. But we kind of have lost it. But I think that's only because of, like I said, the world currently at large and how things have moved. But yeah, I think it is what it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I think everyone wants a bit of that back.
Absolutely.
But maybe not to the point where I can't leave.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the thing now, obviously, as we're going and a lot of companies are doing, is the flexibility is super important. And I think you need to have both. You can't just be like, it's hard to be just have that air of doing the amazing work and then not be together. Sometimes you need to rub up against each other and figure out things, and you need to be in the room to kind of do that. It's just harder when you're alone at home and not together. So I think there is a bit of a loss, but I feel like the companies that get it right get that balance right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing.
I think you're right. So I know there's so many questions I want to ask you, Viv.
Go, go, go. I know.
And I know, and we're jumping ahead a little bit.
Go, go.
We're not extinct just yet.
No.
But AKQA to Head.
Okay, yeah.
Now, if anyone who doesn't know Head, I remember it as a kid.
Yeah.
That was the tennis kit I always wanted to have, you know?
Yeah.
Play tennis awfully, but that was the thing.
That was the one.
So why? How did that come around?
Yeah. Weird. It was a weird one where I just finished Rise at AKQA, and it was a Nike basketball thing in China. Best project I was doing. It's one of those weird things when you're doing a project when you know it's going to be one of the best things you do. You see the scale of it, you're just there like, don't bottle it. and we didn't, and it was amazing, and it was such a great experience. But I knew after that, it was such a high. It was just like, I kind of have to, and I've always got a thing about leaving on a high. Leaving when things are good, like when you're like, I've just done this, I've got that acumen, now I'm gonna go, and not waiting too late for that. So it got to the point when I was just like, I'd done that, spoke to my CD at the time, and he was just like, yeah, ton of dust, mate. And at that time, I'd been there for 5.5 years, so it's just like I'd done a lot and seen a lot and worked on multiple things, a couple of Olympics, a couple of World Cups, all that sort of Euros, done all of that sort of stuff, which was amazing. And especially working on Nike, which I fully aligned with and fully affiliated with at that age, I was just like, this is amazing. So yeah, started to think about leaving, got a recruiter, and it's weird, I kind of start becoming friends with recruiters, but there's a guy that just kind of liked me, I liked him, and he was just like, look, there's this thing, I don't know, it's hard to put my finger on it, but I think we need to go and see. And that was all it was.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, cool. So I went and saw and went and met the guys at Head, the guy that was setting it up. I went and met him. Again, after meeting him, I was like, I was none the wiser. But it seemed cool. It seemed like everything I'd been doing at AKQA, I could do there. And I could build it from the ground up, and I would kind of be, at that point, I was a senior art director, so I was kind of leading all creative and all that sort of stuff. So I was just like, but obviously with a design background, and so it felt like I could go in and build what I needed to build up. And I hadn't had that experience. Like, I'd been mentoring people at work and been line managing one or two people, but it was just like, I felt like I was ready. Nothing that came in scared me anymore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? When you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I was just like, cool. It was exciting because I was like, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to do it. So I wasn't really worried about my level of skill. It was just like, I know that I needed to bolster on taking care of people, getting people to do the job. Mm. Like, how do you switch from doing the work yourself to going, inspiring people to do it? And I knew that that would be a really good place for me to do it and be kind of, I felt like it was going to be safe. It was kind of small. Head do tennis, like you said, and alpine skis, so they do skis as well. And so those are like winter and summer sports. So I was just like, cool, I get it. Like, I'm not a skier, but let's go, like, kind of thing. Went there, was there for 2.5 years. Really hard thing to, yeah, it was super hard. I only am able to do things where I just give myself, and I've been saying this to you every time we meet, but it's just like, you have to give, I feel like the only way I do the best thing I can do is to kind of go all in or not at all. So that one was like proper hard for me. Like I had to go in, be the first one in, last one out, fully understand the landscape so that I can kind of change and put ideas in that they hadn't seen. Head is a manufacturer. They manufacture really top of the range skis and rackets. And those products, they think, and I say they think, can sell themselves. Mm-hmm. So me as a quote unquote marketeer or someone that kind of is in advertising, coming in and going, oh, what if we do this cool thing? They're like, just take a photo of the racket, mate.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? So it was that kind of battle I was just like fighting a lot. But it was cool. I learnt a load. But it was like not even a load about the job. It was more about myself, how I am in those situations. I think that's the thing that's really interesting about the job. It's like, it's not just about what you put out. It's about who you are and being kind of trying to be self-reflective and think about how you do things so that they are better and how people experience them. Like, there's a way that I love to work and it is collaboratively. As I've grown older, I've become a bit more like collaborative and I love it now because the idea that you have is always and has to be, and this is a big statement, but I feel like it's always better when someone else is involved as well, that you can vibe off each other and you know you get that buzz when you're like, oh, that's cool. And then they take it one step further. You're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. You get that super exciting thing. Yeah. Like, that's what I love. And I was able to do that ahead. And I really like came away from that. Like, it was really hard, but it was really beneficial because it kind of taught me a lot about businesses and how I want to be positioned in a business, what I needed to do next. And yeah, it was really, really fun. It was also hard because it was one of the places that I could have an idea, and this is just me, I could have an idea in the morning and it'd be live in the afternoon. And I was just like, there's no filter, there's no one critiquing, there's no one to vibe off. It was just like, cool, we're doing this, it's happening.
This is the thing that I get from you, Viv, is everywhere that you go, you're like, from the beginning, you're a sprinter, you're like, let's fucking get this done, like I'm in.
Yeah,
what if that collaboration isn't there? What if there isn't someone? Does that feel like you're sprinting through treacle?
It does happen, but I think it's all about relationships. And I say this a lot to my team, it's about playing the man. And it's football, obviously football term, but it's just like understanding who I'm talking to, finding that commonality, and then being able to kind of go build that relationship so that I can at least get that to and fro, like, let's play this game. You get it. Let's do this. And then kind of get on the same page as them and they get on the same page as me. It has been tough. But it's relationships. It has to be relationships. I think that's the most important thing. People can be super talented, but if they don't like you, they will not do the job. They will not do the work, or they don't have a common goal with you, and you're on the same team. It's all about teamwork.
Yeah.
Across the board, and if you can get someone on your side and be like, "Let's do this," and I'm here with you, or I'm doing it, please come with me. It just makes it so much easier, and it's all about that collaboration. Yeah. So I have been in that situation where it's been hard, but I've always tried to not only acknowledge that it's happened, but also lean into it and go, right, how do I make this work? And try not to be as try not to be as calculated as you would do, so people can see you doing it. It's kind of just more about, I really want to, I'm just interested. I'm interested in people, and I've always been that way. So yeah, I think it's tough, but I think that's the type of thing that I'm like, it's all about as I've come into the industry and growing through the industry. I'm all about that. Hopefully that answers your question.
100%. Okay, good. Love it.
Good, good.
We're fast forwarding. We're going all the way up to Stink.
Sweet.
I really want to get into this.
Okay.
Stink is a place that everyone at Unknown, we've admired for a long time. The work that you guys put out is consistently awesome. I think that's the thing, that how we differentiate who's good and who's great is the people who can do that great thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So You've been at Sting for coming up to 4 years?
Yeah, coming up to 4 years. Like, yeah.
So going in there, what was the problem? What was the opportunity that was sort of posed to you? And
I don't think it was there was a problem. I think they've been doing some amazing stuff. Like, I knew someone that was doing the job that I took beforehand, good friend of mine, and it was just like, I'm leaving, I'm going to the US. I've put you forward. I knew Stink already. Like, my girlfriend at the time, wife now, worked there, and she'd come back and go, you'd love it there. Even when I was like elsewhere at Media Arts Lab, or I think it was at Head, she was like, you'd love it there. So I already knew about them. When I went in, I was really worried because I'd been on this trajectory to kind of be, I'm a senior art director at the time. I thought I wanted to be a creative director. Well, just with that art directional design side, which you get nowadays. So going in and being a design director was like really weird to me, really foreign. And I think that was the first thing that jolted me. I was just like, okay, cool. Like, but I was like, cool, that's fine. I love design. I can design. I'd been doing less of it, but I'm like, I can get in the bag. I can work on that. I'll just apply the same thing, give myself to it, and figure it out. I got there, and straight away, two designers left. So they only had two, and then I got there. They both left, and I was just like, it was just me, the design team. And I was like, sweet, let's go. And it was an opportunity, and Stink are amazing at that. They were just like, right, how do you want to do this? And I was like, this. And they were like, cool, stipulations are we need to, and we'll talk about this in a bit, needs to be diverse, we need to like really use this to our advantage and find the right people. And they notoriously did really well with younger applicants, people just straight in that kind of are hungry. And obviously from the conversation we've had, you can see that resonated with me. So I was like, yeah, cool, let's go. And so there wasn't a real big problem, I don't think. I think they always did amazing and always will do amazing stuff. They were incredibly collaborative. Like, the place that I've worked at the most that is the most collaborative, where everyone's really good, but they know how to work together, and it just kind of happens. The other thing that jolted me was, technically, they have no retained clients, so it's just a project by project basis, and that's kind of why you see the projects that they do. It's consistent because Stink, we throw all of it, everything, at any problem. We like, let's go, let's do it, like let's do it in our own way, but we're like literally giving ourselves to it, and it just resonated with me. So the issue, to answer your question, was that when I started, two designers left. But that was cool. Like, I was like, cool, I can build it. And went in, built it. The right type of people. Again, lent heavily on my network and people that I knew. Freelancers, all that sort of stuff. And people just there were just amazing with me. Just really, like, were patient. Got what I was trying to do. Got that I was different than what they'd had before. Got that I wanted to be hands-on, but also I don't have to be. And just got me as a person, and I just like really, within 6 months, I was just like, I really love it.
Really?
It was hard, but I was like, I really love it, because like I was having really good conversations with people where they were just like, yeah, do it. What do you want to do? And asking me for the first, what do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I want to do it this way, because this is how I've seen it. This is how I would do it. And I was just allowed to do that. And yeah, being allowed to do something is just like one of those things where you're like, wow, okay, cool. You really do. You get me. And so I'm going to give everything and build it. And if I have any issues, I'm going to come to you and go, this is what I'm thinking, and tell you all of my brain, and then help me sort it out. And it's just, yeah, it's one of the most amazing places I've worked at because of the people. And they just really like care, but they also are really passionate about the work. I know most people will say this, but where they work, but I really like, it's really, I love going into work. I love it. It's so good. And because of the no retained clients, everything's different. Like, literally, I'll be working on some VR something tech, and then an out of home. Do you know what I mean? It's so varied, and it just uses all of those skills that from day dot that I've been like, cool, I'm in. I'm into all these different things.
So what stinks unfair advantage? Because do you think that has something to do with it? The variety?
Yeah, I think so. I think unfair, yeah. We've been called the best kept secret from some of our clients because we just get on with it. Work best when we collaborate with our clients as well. It's not just internal. It's just like we want to be the best time we do. The best work we do is when we're collaborative with our clients and we become an extension of their office and they become an extension of our team.
Definitely. And I've worked with you guys in London and in New York. And I think especially in New York, it was stink was two things. It was either, yes, I've heard of them and I love the work they're doing. Mm. Or the second was, no, I haven't heard of them. But as soon as they do hear about you, it's like, holy shit, that's amazing work.
Yeah. You know? People are like, we didn't realize you did this and this. And we're just like, we're born out of our sister company, Stink Films. Mm. There was an offering that they needed, which was more of a digital offering. And so we were Stink Digital. And then we decided to pivot away from being agency, being tethered to agency and go, like, we can go direct to client. And that's kind of when Stink Studios was born. And we really work really well because we've got that production background. As a client, you're talking directly to the people that are making it. And that just makes such a difference when you're like, the EPs do an amazing job with that client relationship. Then you've got producers that are talking directly on a day-to-day basis with a client. And then you've got an ECD that is so hands-on, that is across everything, that is just like embodies Stink and it's been there since the beginning. So totally gets it. Then hopefully you've got me, who's like all about my team, but then also about the output and making sure that feels right. There's a level, there's three things that we stand for, and there's three things that we always look for in projects in a scale. But usually it's big ideas, it's craft, which is where I come in, which is what I'm all about. It's that level of finish that you're like, cool, I get that. And then there is technology. And like I said, we've come from that digital world. So we just really love that side. And when we're at our best, you see those three things throughout those projects. And that's kind of, the thing that I think is, and you could say that about some places, but I feel like there's a way that we do it. And it's that, everyone calls it the special sauce. It's just, it's that people are like, oh, I like a bit of that. Mm. And some people it's not for, and it's happened, but. Mm. It's been good. It's been fun.
So what's the objective? What's your personal thing that you want to achieve at Stink? How do you know it's like we've been successful here?
Again, very good question. I think it's just repeat work from clients. I think it's new things and building out certain aspects of the company. So I think when I've come in, and we've always been that type of thing, where the type of company where we do digital, obviously, and we're amazing at that, and we really have come from that world. But there's certain aspects like campaign work, which we've just started to be very, very known for and have a really good point of view on, and be really known and have that Stink and I get it. And then also there's the design side of it, which is like the actual branding side of it, which the world I've kind of come from that I've always loved. And it's just like being able to do projects like that for branding and infuse it with our who we are. Yeah. It's just amazing. And when that comes together, I'm just like, ooh, that's amazing. So to answer your question about I just want to do more of the things and build out more aspects of that. For instance, like AR, AI, all of those new emerging things that are coming on, taking those and using them for what they are, but also stinkifying them and making them amazing, and just having an offering in the marketplace that people look at and go, oh, that's interesting. I think that's the thing that I'm really interested in. So I just need, I want more of that. And just building out, like I said, more aspects that we kind of do. And just being people like thinking about us when they're like, this is a weird opportunity, or we're not too sure about this. Come to us, come and talk, because do you know what I mean? I'm sure we'll come at it from a different angle, and then we'll go, okay, this is how we want to do it. You may like it, you may not, but come to us.
You touched on it earlier when it was just you at Stink, team around you had left. Diversity was a big topic of yours, and trying to encompass that as much as you can and embody that at Stink. Mm. I know you do a lot of talks about it, and I mean, I guess for me, there is still a problem in the industry, I think. And what do you think we need to do to change that? Or what's different enough that people will start to embody that more?
It's really really good question. I do a few talks about it and get asked about it a lot. I'm not a fan of diversity and inclusion. Yeah. Because it's become that buzzword over a couple of years now where everyone's talking about it. I think the thing for me is like, less talk, more action. Show it, do it. Like, don't just talk about it. And I think that's what I loved about Stink when I was like, look, we've got this opportunity. And they were like, this is what we're going to do. And it was really definitive about the type of people we want to go after, the type of people we want there. My team is very diverse. Definitely within design as well, there wasn't enough female designers. And so that was a very much of a thing that we were like, we need parity in that. We've got so many diverse clients. We've got so many, like, we were working on, brands that, like, I was doing, and I was just like,
I'm the wrong person.
I'm totally the wrong person to be doing this. I can go in and, like, I really do it, but it's just like, it would be better if there was a female creative on this and stuff, and a female designer. And it just makes sense. So you kind of have to go out and look for those people and really, like, look where no one else is looking. Like, really lean heavily on your network, but also, if someone's right, they're right. It doesn't matter. But I feel like you kind of have to lead with that and just don't talk about it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Like, it's a weird thing, but I'm just like, I can't explain how I feel about it. It's just like, stop talking and just make it happen. Really, it's action now. We've spoken about it a lot, so in the industry. So it's just about making it happen. If you believe in a certain thing, do it. Don't just worry about it. Head on, direct, do it. And so, yes, there is an issue, but it's not that I'm done talking about it. I'm just like, I just want to see people doing more. And there are people out there doing more. It's really interesting, the people that I've been working with throughout the industry, the agencies I've been to, now I look around in the thing and it's just like, so diverse. Like, and I think for me, AKQA had it right at the beginning. They just hired really talented people, doesn't matter, Brazilians, Portuguese, African, it just women, men, like, it didn't matter. It's like, you're super talented, we love the cut of your jib, get involved, we'll figure it out. And I think that's kind of, and they were just active about it, and it was just one of those things. So yeah, I think I do, it's a thing that Stink generally, I don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
I just do it. Like, so yeah, it's just one of those things that I just, less talk, more action.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Absolutely. And talking about the future.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, some people think it's scary. I think we got to talk less about how scary it is and more about how this impacts our day to day.
Yep.
AI.
Yes. I knew you'd talk about that.
I know. And do you know what? Even when I say those two letters, I'm like,
again, it's one of those things that's been out, it's in the industry, it's topical, we have to talk about it. It's one of those things that is it's here and it's here to stay. My probably naive, and I will say this, preface this, is a naive stance on it. It's a tool. It has to be a tool. I'm not doing design with AI and just prompting it and it basically coming out with something and going, that's the finished article, that's never it. I'll always use it as a tool to get where I need to get to either sell an idea in, or for instance, do a mock-up that I would never have been able to do, or I'd have spent hours and hours looking for the right things to comp together to do that. Like with AI, I'm able to do that. It's really important that that's happened, because it's made things a lot quicker. Then I can focus on the things that matter.
Yeah,
that's the idea. That's making sure that things are like ship shape and looking the right way. And it's a tool. I use it every day. Photoshop, that new tool that they've got.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Gets rinsed by me. Gets rinsed by me, because like I've come from the world where I used to do tutorials about cutting people out. And now,
oh
so good.
And like, click that button.
Oh, done. Write a little prompt. Remove that. Sweet. Done. So, and then even on my... I was joking with someone today, the other day about I'm pictures, not words, and I use it for words for me, like able to like write something and something tell me like, okay, you're coming across like this and help me, like that's super important to me as a person, as an individual, and so I use it every day, even writing emails.
Yeah,
like it's super important. It's a tool, and it will be around forever. It will get better, especially in terms of finishing. You know, when you look at something and you go, that's AI, I can see that's AI, that doesn't feel right. It's going to get better, and it has to get better, but it's still a tool. It's not going to be the final thing. You always have to go in and add that extra little bit of human craft to it and go, okay, does this feel right? How do I do this? There's too much of that. And I think it's that for me. I'm never going to not use it.
Yeah.
You need to use it for me in the industry and how I use it in the right way.
100%. It feels like, to me, obviously I'm not using on the same level as someone like you, but it's a tool or an idea generator or something that builds the foundations of what I really want to do differently, you know?
Yeah, and
it's like, it might just be an idea or editing something, or how does it look if I tried this? Yeah. I can't be bothered to put all the hours in to try and do that and see what it looks like, and it might fail.
Yeah, yeah.
So can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Takes 10 seconds. That's for me or that isn't for me.
Yeah.
That, it feels like basic brain stuff. I don't understand it so deeply, and not using it every day in like in a design capacity. How does it change in the future? So, you know, right now you're using it, like you said, in Photoshop and to edit and conceptualize and whatever. Do you think a year, 2 years down the line that we'll be using it very differently to that?
Probably. The way that things are moving, the way that the world's moving, tech moves super quickly, obviously, I think we will be using it differently. I'm not going to lie, it's a bit scary. Like, there's certain things that you're just like... Never have thought that, but I think it's all about embracing it and then figuring out how you want to use it and still keeping that human aspect in it. I think that's super important. Like, at the end of the day, especially in our industry, what are we doing? We're selling stuff, we're making people aware of things, and it's always a human interaction, things that people want to spend time with, people want to see, people want to enjoy, and it's people. So I feel like if you take the human out of crafting that for people, it just becomes this flat, you can tell that it's like soulless. And I think that's the scary thing. And maybe it will get better with that human aspect of it and being able to mimic that. But I'm not, like, in all honesty, I'm not that worried about it. Like, I'm just like, it will... At some point, there'll be a tipping point. It'll be mental. But right now, and even thinking about the future, if you go into it with your eyes wide open and go, okay, what can this do for me? And it's super exciting. Cool. Like, yeah. I don't see a point where in the future you'll be like, oh, this is taking jobs, because I feel like you'll still want that human aspect of it. Like, I feel like people are quite savvy to that already. Like, even the regular person on Instagram, on all the things that we watch, like, going, this is fake. Mm. Like, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And that won't ever change.
I feel like people are jumping to, is it going to take my job? Because that is the topic, the majority of conversation. Whereas, what about when Flash came around, or the internet, or Photoshop, or Figma, and you're like,
yeah,
all that's done is made our lives better in some way, you know, in the creative industry. And I don't see AI, I could be barking up the wrong tree here, but I don't see it being much different. I think as long as we evolve and we continue to build our skills and keep that human element and collaborate, that will be our friend. That will be part of our collaboration tool.
Absolutely.
You know?
I totally agree with that. And you've just basically summarized how I feel in that, so thank you. That's the relationship. I feel like it's the important relationship. But you never know. Like, and I never say never. Yeah, things could, weirder things have happened.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Viv, I know there are going to be a lot of younger, not necessarily younger, designers coming into the industry. Mm-hmm. I want you to put yourself back in 21-year-old Viv shoes. You're maybe even younger.
Okay.
You don't know what you wanted to do. What one piece of advice would you have given yourself?
This is a really good question. I would have probably have given myself the advice is to kind of get out of my own way. I feel like that's really important. I think with the drive that people have and I had, you worry about a lot. And I feel like it's not about the worry. It's not about worrying. It's about worry about the things you can affect, not the things you can't. And I think that's the main advice I would give myself. It's like, don't worry. There's control. What do you have control over? And only worry about that and make that the thing. At some point in my life, I was very much one of my and I said, he was really honest with me, one of my CDs at AKQA was just like, feedback was just like, mate, get out of your own way. And I was just like, and then I deeped it and thought about it, and I was like, yeah, he's right. Like, I just would worry about stuff, blame that person, blame this. Why am I given these things? Why is it always me? And it's just like, nah, mate, it's not about that. Yeah. It's about what are you doing? How can you affect it? And then go, cool, calm down and focus on that. It's about focus for me. And I think if I was given that advice when I was younger, I would really... I think I would get to, I've got to where I've got to quite a bit quicker, but I'm really happy the way that things have happened. And the only other thing that I would say, advice-wise, is make sure, especially as a designer or as a creative, make sure there's an idea in what you're doing. Make sure there's something to fall back on and there's a reason for you doing. Make sure that there's a beginning, middle, and an end of stuff. Goes for everything. Goes for projects, goes for portfolio. Like, make sure there's that, because once people can see that there's a story you're trying to tell, they get on board. Oh, okay, cool, I get it. Mm. That's what people are into. It's just like, oh, okay, cool, I get it. And so, for instance, one of the portfolio things I do is, like, when I see a portfolio or someone's done some work, my thing is, what's the middle bit? What's the research? What's the sketching? What's the... The first bit is, what's the idea? How can I say that in... So, first bit, what's the idea? How can I say that in the most concise way? How do I take that and start to work on it and do the research and strategy and all that sort of stuff, sketching? And then the least important thing for me is the final thing.
Really?
Least. Because, again, there's all these tools that make it look better than it is. I'm more interested in the way that you think and how you get to where you get to. So if someone had told me that at the beginning, when I was putting together my portfolio, when I was like trying to get into London and trying to get into agencies in London, and everything was so that methodical, I think I'd have done a lot better. I think I'd have got a lot more things, but it was just all over the shop. Oh, I'm going to show this mock-up and I'm going to use this PSD and do this wild thing. And it's just like, cool. And over-indexed on the coolness, and actually what people are interested in is the idea and how I got to that idea. You always get that thing for people when they were younger, and even at primary school, I used to have it at primary school, secondary school, it's like, show your workings. You don't have to over index on it and show everything, but it's just like, in your portfolio, show your sketches.
Yeah,
show how you've kind of constructed stuff. Like, super important. And especially in a design portfolio, less words, more visuals.
Mm.
I see people talk about the work and talk about the strategy. I'm like, creatives, maybe, like design, be ruthless with yourself. Think, like, literally, idea, opportunity. Here's what I did. Mm. Show what you did. We're out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it should be that simple.
I think a lot of people need to hear that, because for a couple of reasons, I'm not going to bolster the point too much, but I think we're so used to seeing the final outcome. Absolutely. You know, we're used to seeing the how Nike's crypto kicks has ended like that. Mm. Spotify Kids has done this and all this other stuff. And it's like, that all looks great, but what's happened before is the bit that is happening in the agency, and that's Absolutely. The bit that gets to that idea.
Absolutely.
And that final outcome. And we need to stop looking at, and you're totally right, and I see it a lot, and I think what makes a great portfolio is the ones that don't worry about telling me that thing, because I can go and look online and see that. Tell me what you did to make that thing that's very special.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's 100% that. It's that. It's understanding, like you said, the industry, and understanding what you're going into, and understanding that work, like, the majority of people only see the final stuff, and I'm reiterating on what you said, the majority of people only see that, but what's interesting is how you get to that. And also, from a design, from me in my job, I can help and teach you how to craft that final thing. Like, that's, don't worry about that, really don't worry about it. That just takes time and just the level of skill that you can work on, that you can get better at. The thing that's really hard is finding that idea and finding that nugget and going, I'm going to run with that. And that's the cool thing. Mm. And identifying that and saying that and then staying true to that and then working on that and making sure that that shows in the final thing. That's the thing that gets me really excited. When you see something, it's like, that is super smart.
Yeah,
it's because you couldn't see what the idea was. So yeah, without being told. But yeah.
Viv.
Are we done?
Unfortunately, we are done. I could honestly, mate, I could go on for hours. Mate. It's always so good chatting to you. I'm so glad I got you on this sofa so everyone else could hear it.
Sweet.
Thank you so much, mate.
No.
That is the end. And
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Amazing, mate.